Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Deer, squirrels, bunnies. Wow. Yeah, bluefish, stripe. Wow. It's a tog, sea bass. Whoa! And tuna way out there in the canyons on fire. Find some decent conditions. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Glorious week in October 12th and 13th. Just so much stuff going on in the parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio when the season opens or reopens. Indeed, cause for a New Year celebration starting Monday, October 14th. Up in the six bear management zones up there in the northern Sierra counties. The archery season will be 14th through the 16th, and then muzzleloader and archery the 17th. Through the 19th. Go to njfishandwildlife.com for more info on the bear hunt and also to find out where the check stations are. Speaking of seasons going on, a shout out. Good luck to the youngsters in the South Zone taking care of the waterfowl. The Youth South Zone Waterfowl Hunt goes on. October 26th will be the Coastal Zone. Don't forget, October 15th, this coming Tuesday, last chance to register for the Youth Pheasant Hunt. Please take advantage of this. These kids will have a great time. Hundreds of birds being stocked, top quality ring necks, guided hunts. There's also other hunts available, other opportunities during that week. The kids have the next week to hunt as well. Take advantage of it. Youth Pheasant Hunt registration closes October 14th. Speaking of stocking, we'll get to the trout a little later on in this. The 11 management areas to be stocked with chuckers for dog training. They started last week. They were stocked yesterday for today in the Rack and Fin Radio listening area. Assunpink, Colliers Mills, Manasquan, Stafford Forge, Glassboro, Millville, and Tuckahoe up north. It was Black River, Clinton, Pequest, and Whittingham. They're going to be stocking again for the 19th and the 26th. Get your dog out there, man. Get him trained. Whoa, they had to switch the trout stocking around. So this Tuesday and Wednesday, the South Jersey waters get hit and get hit heavily. It's going to be a great time. We'll get to those numbers. Also with Pequest Trout Hatchery Superintendent Ed Connolly a little later on in the program. Just a reminder, we're up against a hard break, opening break here. Just a reminder, the first annual Edmar Cask Memorial Shoot for the New Jersey Outdoor Alliance is going to be next Saturday, October 19th, starting at 9 a.m. over there at the Great Red Wing Sporting Clay, Suey's Landing Road in Port Republic. $75 donation per person includes 100 rounds of sporting clay, shoot at 15 stations. I'm telling you, that one over the river, that wind's blowing. Good luck with that. Lunch and cold drinks. You get an NJOA ball cap for each shooter. It's going to be a great time for a great cause. Go to NJOA.org to find out more about it. Wow, we are jamming. Coming up in our next segment, we're talking fall turkeys. Yeah, fall turkey season's going to be in a couple of weeks. We have Luke Mbali, chairman of the President's Council National Wild Turkey Federation, talking about some fall turkey tactics. We also have State Senator Parker Space coming on. He is going to be discussing S-765, the companion bill, which we had on Assemblywoman Dawn Fantasia on last week about the baiting situation. In the long run, they're going to try to outlaw baiting and outlaw hunting. It is in a row. Parker gives his unbridled opinion. I'm going to wrap it up with Ed Connolly, Pequest Trout Hatchery Superintendent, and the numbers going out to the South Jersey Lakes. So grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Woof. A lot going on. Am I loving it?
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Are they ready? Are you ready? Giving your child their first phone is an important and often difficult decision. After all, it is a milestone in your child's development. The Phone Ready Quiz from the American Academy of Pediatrics can help make this decision easier. Go to healthychildren.org/phone-ready-quiz to take a short questionnaire developed by pediatricians that'll help you decide if you and your child are ready, almost ready, or not yet ready for their first phone. And get tips about how your child can develop a healthy relationship with technology. So, are they ready, almost ready, or not yet ready? What about you? Go to healthychildren.org/phone-ready-quiz today. Just 10 short questions can help you find out. That's healthychildren.org/phone-ready-quiz.
Only 1 in 5 people with autism are employed, despite many having the skill set and desire to work.
Maybe it's because employers don't know what kind of jobs they can do. Like, what about a programmer?
That's a job for someone with autism.
How about a healthcare worker?
Yep. That is too. People with autism can do a lot of different jobs, but often get overlooked due to outdated stigmas. Introducing WIN by Autism Speaks. We help businesses lead the way in inclusive hiring.
What about a ranch hand? Yeah.
To learn more, go to autismspeaks.org/WIN.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs. Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The phone's blowing up, but you're in the driver's seat. Ignore the buzz, keep your eyes on the street. No text back, no scroll, just let it wait. Attention on the road, that's the only way. Phone's blowing up, but you're in the driver's seat. Ignore the buzz, keep your eyes on the street. No text back, no scroll, just let it wait.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Listen up, women. Heart disease kills a woman every 80 seconds, and we die of heart attacks at twice the rate of men because our symptoms are too often missed or dismissed, even by doctors. This isn't just a crisis. It's a catastrophe. Be a force for change. If you experience nausea, heartburn, extreme fatigue, shortness of breath, or pain in the chest, jaw, or neck, speak up and get your heart checked. Visit womensheartalliance.org.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Yeah, you're back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of the Glorious October 12th and 13th. Hey, you're tuned in 5 to 6 a.m. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM, South Jersey's top-rated talk show station. Also, WPG 1450 AM, streaming live, WPG1450.com. And from 7 to 8 a.m., you're locked into 50,000 mega far-reaching watts of the Rack and Fin Radio message, 97.3 ESPN FM, streaming live, 97.3 ESPN.com. Download the WPG Talk Radio app or go to Apple, Spotify, or YouTube to get the Rack and Fin Radio podcast. Well, again, in the offing in 2 weeks, sort of an early Happy New Year, fall turkey season. It's going to be running. It's going to they finally, you know, it's been great the past few years. Two Saturdays involved, October 26th, and then again from Monday, October 28th to Friday, November, till Saturday, rather, November 2nd. Here's the deal, though. Fall turkey hunting, they've been having it, I guess, for I don't know how many years now, back in the 90s, early 2000s. It's never really caught on in popularity here in the overall in the Garden State. And I don't know why we do it. It's a lot of fun. It's actually, we do it more of say, hey, bonus. You know, you have your permit, come around the bend, and there's a flock right there, and they rush out, call back. It's just a great experience. But Jersey seems to be a spring gobbler season. That's better. What's a fall harvest somewhere? It's always around below 100, just around 100, maybe a little more. And we'll find out more next week when we have the upland game bird biologist on, Jimmy Sloan. We're going to be talking the turkey situation, fall turkey prospectus. But right now, I want to get a special fall tactic in. There are a few, but one I want to zero in with a great guest, a longtime friend of Rack and Fin Radio. It's President, I say, Lou Gambale. He is the chairman of the President's Council National Wild Turkey Federation and probably the most enthusiastic, dedicated, hardcore, however you want to name it, turkey hunter that I've known in my, 69 years now. Gambale, Lou, how you doing, man?
Good morning, brother.
Great to talk to you again.
Lou, I'm pushing the 7-0. I never thought I'd last that long. Isn't that terrible?
You and I are the same age, man. We're still kicking.
Oh man, it's Lou. It's it goes so quickly. But Lou, I want to get to the fall turkey season. We've bantered about it, and it's a lot of fun. It's a unique kind of hunt. Again, we don't do it specifically. We're going to go out fall turkey. We do it as sort of, for lack of a better term, like a byproduct, like a bonus. You know what I mean? When we're out there squirrel hunting, et cetera. But there are some techniques that work on these, but it's not entirely different because you are calling them back. But from a spring gobbler hunt, Lutus, they can be vexing. I know accomplished turkey hunters who, Tommy P, we're not messing with those things in the fall. They ain't that easy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the fall turkey hunt can be a challenge in and of itself.
Oh, no question. And it's a completely different way to approach both calling and hunting the birds, but it still gives you a huge opportunity. What I like to tell folks is that this time of the year, if you're someone you want to really get a chance to hear all the various vocalizations from the birds, I've told folks, even if you didn't go out to harvest a bird, it would be well worth it for you to go try to locate a roost area, get in there in the dark, get comfortable underneath a tree, a base of a tree, and just sit there and listen to that flock wake up. And for a turkey enthusiast, it's priceless. It really is.
And Lou, even when they're on the ground, I've sat there mesmerized sometimes. And Lou, now in my 69 years, I've been to a million Italian family picnics. So I know vocalizations, but turkeys, man, they certainly rival little old ladies dressed in black, man. I've never heard them. Lou, that repertoire is amazing. And I tell my lovely D-Marines, every little sound has a purpose, a meaning somewhere in there in the communicative thing. It's nuts.
It does. You've got the adult birds communicating with each other. You've got the subordinate, the jennies. If it's a flock of hens, communicating with the mature hens. Mature hens back to the jennies. It's really, and then of course in the, you know, when you've got a drove of gobblers, because this time of the year the birds are now breaking up, and so predominantly you're going to have all your female birds are going to be together in their winter flocks. They're beginning to build those flocks, put them together, and then the males are beginning. Sometimes the jakes right now, they're kind of a little bit in purgatory. They're moving around and, you know, one day they're trying to hook up with the guys, but the guys are kind of like, you know, and they wind up back over, you know, so they can kind of cross, jump back and forth. But, you know, even, if you get a chance to sit and hear a gobbler yelp, because during the spring sometimes it's not always opportune to hear a gobbler yelp. And mm-hmm. You really can begin to separate all the different vocalizations. And then when you're working on your calling, it gives you some additional things to work on, because there's a lot of different, call it, cadences and sequences of calls that are more predominant in the fall than they are in the spring.
Mm-hmm. Now, Lou, that's a gathering, a come on back, come on back, come on back type thing, or hey, where are you, putting it in human terms?
Assembly call. Assembly call is usually, you know, 8, 10, 12 continuous yelps. And, you know, you'll watch that hen, she'll stand there and you'll just see her, you know, she'll just continuously yelp. And that's just calling birds back together. Kikis will get mixed in with that, because that's the young birds. That's them reaching out, trying to, you know, and the adult birds kiki too. So that's another way for them to get back together. That's when you're hunting them, you know, one of the exciting things is if you get a chance to bust up a flock, you know, like I would say similar, but, you know, if you were ever quail hunting and you broke up a covey,
right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, you break up a small flock of birds, it could be a half a dozen, could be a dozen, could be 20. You break them up, they're going to go a bunch of different separate ways. And I tell the hunters, I said, look, here's the great opportunity. Now, just go in a direction of where you see a bunch of the birds go. They're going to go in a bunch of different directions. Go there, go 50, 75 yards, sit down, get comfortable, and just sit there for a bit and listen.
Mm-hmm.
And listen.
Let me interrupt a second. I noticed many, at least in our experiences, my experiences, that they don't really fly all the time. A lot of times, those little suckers are runners, man. Like pheasants, and they'll take off. They won't fly, and they'll sketch. Like, where'd they go? I mean, and especially right. in the high bush brood blurry, when even though the leaves are down, they're gone. And then it's a matter of again waiting them out.
Yep, they could run, they could fly. That's a great point. You don't know what you're going to get, but they'll disperse for lack of better words. And you know that's when you can begin to call them. And what I like to do is sit and just listen and start to hear what kind of vocalizations are coming. Are you hearing kikis? Are you hearing a mix of yelping? And then you can start interjecting your calls so that you become part of that group, that flock that's assembling. And that's when you'll get the birds to begin to come your way. Even in a situation with your male birds, your gobblers, same thing. You know, a gobbler yelp is more of a horsey yelp.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be as defined and as crisp and clear. And by the way, I mean, and I say that to say that when you go out in the fall, you're going to hear a lot of hen turkeys calling. You're going to think, my goodness, where did that come from? But that's where you really learn that there can be a distinct difference from, let's say, a master caller in a calling contest who's emulating all the sounds of a bird. And then sometimes the variation you hear in the woods, which can be everywhere from perfection to where you think, my God, you better go back and practice, honey.
Now, I hear these sounds, again, from the turkeys themselves. What the hell is that? Lou, I've heard a couple of times. Have you ever had the experience, and it wasn't somebody else doing it, a gobbler actually gobble?
After
being busted up by a flock?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, but gobblers gobble all year round. I mean, you could be out there in a cool, crisp morning deer hunting, and it's not uncommon to hear a gobbler kick off. I mean, sometimes I've been out deer hunting in, 20-degree weather in an area where, let's say, a mile off of fire trucks racing by and, hitch the fire horn, and all of a sudden, ba-boom, 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 they kick off down the line. And, I think, look, gobblers would breed all year long if the hens would let them. I mean, they wouldn't be any different than your barnyard birds,
Or your human counterparts. Well, let me ask you this, though. We're up against a hard breaker. You're coming back. You can't escape Kambali. But here's the thing, Lou. If you had to, I'm not a caller. I still use a plunger, and it works, okay? But would you have, Lou, two or three basic calls for the fall when they go, you have a good chance of bringing even a Jake back in?
Yeah, sure, I would. The one basic one would be the assembly yelps.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be that long kind of string of cadence of yelps.
Yep.
I like that one. If you can kiki, if you can't kiki with a mouth call, you can do it with a long box is a good box call to use for a kiki. And that can get you, get you in the hunt. Simple yelping and you don't need to overdo it. I think I've talked to you in the past about, I know guys throughout the country, they use decoy setups.
I was just going to ask, Gambale, did you give him my notes? Hey, how did you know? I knew one guy, he's up there in North Jersey on the Pensy, New York border. He's right there, right at the apex up there, up by High Point. He swears by putting out, and he gets a bird pretty much every year when he has a chance to go. He'll bust them up, he and his brothers, whatever, and they'll put a decoy or two out. Wait it out, and he says, Tom P., sometimes it's an hour, maybe even longer, but it works if you have the patience. Me, Lou, I don't have that kind of patience.
I have a friend of mine in Illinois. He's getting along in the years now, but he used to put 8, 10, 12 decoys out.
Now,
in some areas of the country where fall turkey hunting is a huge tradition, turkey dogs are that's the bomb, right? I mean, you got to have a turkey dog, and
yeah,
that's the way you're going to turkey hunt. And, you know, of course, let's face it, anyone that's a dog enthusiast that hunts knows that that adds a whole other dimension to your hunt. And just the relationship between the hunter and the dog, that's reason enough to be out there, right?
Well, I'll tell you, we saw that firsthand. Shout out to, I think it was Pete LeClaire of their Turkey Trot Acres. I don't even know if it's still in existence. And the
Southern
Tier of New York. Yep. I'll tell you.
Yep.
Denise gets her bird, right? Those other guys, oh, man, she got her bird. And then we're in his little pond in front, knocking the snotlow at a large amount, up to about 3 pounds. One guy comes over, he says, "That's turkey, honey. This ain't my thing. You got a spare pole?" The guy was all, in fact, his name was Lou. They were from somewhere along on. Hey, Lou, we're up against a heartbreaker. Speaking of Lou Gambale, he is the chairman of the President's Council on National Wild Turkey Federation. Topic is fall turkey hunting. And Lou, let me ask you this. Is there a New Jersey Turkey Hunting Hall of Fame? Because you should be in it, bro.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, listen. Yeah, I'm a legend in my own mind when I'm at home reading a magazine about turkey hunting. That's let me tell you, I've been turkey hunting a long time, and I haven't found a season, and I don't expect any seasons, God willing, going forward, are going to change. But you're never going to stop learning when you're turkey hunting.
That's it, man.
People, one of the gifts, yeah, that comes with it.
Grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Lou Gambale. We're going to be talking to the National Wild Turkey Federation, the work this great organization does. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Glorious weekend of October 12th and 13th. Hey, boy, just on a down a little non sequitur here of prayers, man, for those people in Florida. And we shall, we know a lot of people on our Gulf Coast, and man, that is something. Hey, listen, okay, back to the birds here. Sorry about a little non sequitur. I just had a notice come over to the cell. But National Wild Turkey Federation has been around for however many decades. The work,
1973.
Yeah, man, the 1970, that was a year after the first National Hunting and Fishing Day, but that's a little bit of trivia. But Lou, the work the organization does, not only in a national, but there are local, their state chapters, and then the club chapters within the state. Again, severe conservation-oriented, habitat-oriented. The work is seemingly tireless, but it's just successful to see, great to see how the turkeys are a little bit of a lull right now with that, folks. We'll get into that next week with Jimmy Sloan, but the comeback is one of the greatest stories in wildlife management.
Absolutely. It's absolutely one of America's greatest conservation stories. And, we're all very proud to be members of this organization. We, you know, 88 cents of every dollar that's invested by our members go back to the mission. And we're proud of that. And we actually get better at it. Hats off to our leadership team. They do a great job. And, you know, right now we've got huge projects going on throughout the country specific to those regions.
Yeah.
And there's different, various habitat and challenges that they have. And it allows us to focus specifically on those areas. And whether it's the Southeast, the Northeast, the Midwest, the West, we're involved right now heavily with assisting the federal government and the Forest Service with the issue with wildfires out in the West, and helping them procure the dead wood that's coming out of those areas. And our foresters are doing a great job working with the Forest Service to hopefully improve that immensely and save a lot of people's lives and homes and save our wildlife, of course. We try to stay focused on the mission, and the component is simple. You know, it's healthy harvest, healthy habits, healthy harvest. You know, that's that's what we're about, and it includes, you know, promoting hunting, trying to get our youth involved. We've got a myriad of programs that we work on throughout the country, supporting our youth and supporting new hunters. We obviously from a from a wildlife perspective, we're knee deep in some significant conservation work with, which right now, you know, look, we lose about the size of Yellowstone Park every year in this country in terms of habitat from for development. So it's never been more important to preserve what's left.
Lou, I've never seen an acceleration in my travels around the Northeast. I get down Mid-Atlantic sometimes. But just these pad sites, these huge warehouses, I mean, this is, it's, Lou, it seems to be unchecked. You know, 20 acres there, 50 acres there, 75 acres there, 300 acres there. Mary, Mother of God, where does it, when does it stop?
Well, think about it. And that's just the area that you're traveling.
Right.
So when you blow that up over the size of the country, it's not hard to see that how quick we lose that. And, you know, look, all our wildlife has immense challenges right now. The turkey is right there with a host of species.
Luz, I was just going to ask you that. Can we address that? Because there are red flags in traditional great turkey hunting states, in New Jersey, Ohio, you know, Kansas, whatever.
Oh, yeah. What,
is the Federation working on the causes, how to come, finding out, like, what is going on with this?
No, no question. We are now, we've embarked in the last couple of years, we are really putting some very serious funding behind supporting wild turkey research. I'm blessed myself. I'm working with New Jersey Fish and Wildlife here. We embarked on our research project, and Jimmy will shed a lot of light on that for you. But we started back in January our three-year research, and we're looking at a host of things from extension of disease possibilities to the deer, I mean, the the turkeys' patterns and, brood survivals, what kind of habitat appears to be most favorable, how far these hens are carrying their poults to get the favorable habitat. So really, and again, a lot's going to come out of this as we continue to go deeper in the research, but it's going to also help us target where we go to make land improvements for wildlife, how we create travel corridors, and do the kinds of things that, while all this crazy development's going on, that, you know, these animals, these birds and other wildlife have an opportunity to survive. I mean, they adapt as good as they can. I'm actually sitting here doing a show, and I'm looking out, and my 13 birds that just came into the yard, two hens raised 11 poults here, and they're now, of course, the size of their moms. And it's incredible to watch how they navigate in closer quarters, you know.
Adaptive. You can't hunt them, but suburban gobblers, suburban flocks, they're everywhere.
Yeah, and, you know, look, I tell folks, you know, when it comes down to our wildlife, we're all entrusted with our wildlife. Anyone can go online and look up the North American conservation model. That's not specific to a hunter. That's all of us, you know. Mm-hmm. We all own our wildlife. We're entrusted to. We're the stewards of our great outdoors and our wildlife. And I always challenge folks. Every little bit helps. That's why I can't tell you how much we appreciate the people that come to our events and spend their hard-earned money. Many who might be avid fishermen or men and women that hunt or men and women that don't hunt and just want to give back to conservation. And it allows us to go forth and, you know, invest the dollars for the greater good.
Money makes the rules here, people. But, Lou, again, I've run into antis here and there and, you know, banter back and forth. But you just want to kill animals, et cetera, et cetera. If there ever is a problem with wildlife, especially a huntable species, people, who were the first to jump on the problem and try to rectify it but the hunters, but the people who believe in conservation, wise use of a natural resource, not the antis, not the people who profess to love wildlife? You know, it's the sportsmen and the sportswomen.
Well, I couldn't say it better, Tom. Look, I'm an avid hunter. It's in my soul, but I'll tell you what, and I can't be more sincere, outside of my family, nothing has given me more and touched my soul more than our wildlife. So for me, I try, and I know a lot of folks, you get up every morning and it's top of mind.
Look, Wild Turkey Federation chapters in New Jersey, South Jersey, Central specifically. How many are there? Do you know off the top of your head?
We've got five chapters right now, including our state chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we're always trying to open new ones. We're working on right now following up some leads in Sussex County. We had a chapter in Central Jersey. Unfortunately, we've got a bit of a gap there right now, but we're working on some folks there to get that back going. We really want to just have, you know, in a perfect world in your state, you know, you'd have a chapter in geographic proximity to a large audience so that when you do run an event, whether it's an outdoor event for kids or our Women in the Outdoor program,
right.
Christina McGannon heads that up for us and does a phenomenal job. She uses social media as good as anyone, and you can go on there mm-hmm. and see the host of programs that she does. And then, of course, a shout out to New Jersey Fish and Wildlife. Over the last few years, they've done a super job really working with outdoor programs and the R3 side. And, so these things matter and they count.
One hardcore busy ass chapter is that the Longbeards?
Tri-County Longbeards.
They are gung ho, balls to the wall, man.
Well, that's Jay Sutton's the president of that chapter. We've been around for a while. It's actually my home chapter. I'm proud to be a part of that group, and they do a phenomenal job. I mean, we're all just trying to do our part, and we tell folks, look, anybody can join the flock. $35, you become a member, you get a $25 Bass Pro card, you can join at one of our events. It's extremely turnkey, and again, 88 cents of every dollar is going to go back towards the mission.
That's a big percentage. That's one of the problems you hear about, one of the objections. Yeah, but how much of my money actually goes to? Where does the other money go? But here, the 88 cents on a dollar was phenomenal. Speaking of Lou Gambale, he's just a cool guy. National Turkey Hunting Hall of Fame. I'm telling you, he's going to be there. He is the chairman of the President's Council National Wild Turkey Federation. Topic was the fall turkey season is going to be coming up October 26th, and then again October 28th through November 2nd. By the way, Lou mentioned the Youth Turkey Day 2025 is April 19th. Mark that on your calendars. Well, Lou, we hope to see you in the field one of these days. Thanks for the short notice here, but fall turkeys, might be the curtain call. No, Lou, what are you hearing? Not holding you in anything. What are you hearing?
Well, there's a strong possibility that for the foreseeable future, this might be the last fall season for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And, the quickest way I can get to that is say, look, we're like every other state right now. We're seeing declines in our birds.
Mm-hmm.
In the northern part of the state, we've got a ton of work to do. Our population in the south, we are seeing declines. It's not
even in the south. Whoa. Yeah.
I sent
Sloan some brood photos, me and lovely Dee Marie in our travels. But Jim will be on next week. This is to talk about. Listen, for the fall turkey season, hunting hours, half hour before sunrise, a half hour after sunset. One turkey of either sex per permit. Only one bird may be taken per day, regardless of the number of permits held. Report harvest by 7 p.m. on that day. Well, Lou, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin Radio. Goodbye. Hope to see you in the woods one of these days or on the field edges one of these days. Or Lou, hey, I may get your ass out on the trout stream, Lou. What do you think?
I would love to do that. Listen, brother. I close with this. I know I speak for a lot of men and women that enjoy the great outdoors. We really are gifted to have you in South Jersey.
Oh, thanks, Lou. I appreciate that.
I mean that sincerely, everything you do.
Okay, now, Lou, off the air, man, I'm going to peg you a little later on. I need that turkey recipe that we talked about. Listen, it's turkey brajol. Can you imagine? Lou, I'll catch you later, man. Best to everybody.
Love you, brother.
See you, man. Take care.
Bye.
Lou Gambale, what a great guy. Okay, be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Fall turkey season, couple of weeks. This may be the last one. We'll find out more about that next week. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Fox News, I'm Deborah Valentine. With less than a month to go before Election Day, former President Donald Trump campaigning in the key battleground state of Nevada. In Reno, the GOP nominee promising to halt inflation if reelected.
Your taxes will be cut massively. Your wages will skyrocket. Your savings and pensions will soar. And your retirement will be more prosperous.
Vice President and Democratic nominee Kamala Harris campaigning in Scottsdale, Arizona, promising not to repeat former President Trump's history of dividing America.
To have some level of concern and care about the suffering of other people and then take it upon oneself to do something about that. That is about lifting the condition of your fellow human being.
An October 10th poll from Pew Research has Harris leading Trump by one percentage point. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Atlantic City Electric AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. For today, mostly sunny and very warm, breezy this afternoon, a beautiful start to the weekend with a high of 80. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with a low of 49. For tomorrow, very warm with clouds and sun in the area with a high of 82. Tomorrow night, a passing evening shower, otherwise partly cloudy, breezy with a low of 60. On Monday, windy and cooler with some sun and turning cloudy, high 67. I'm AccuWeather's Caitlin Lawrence on WPG Talk Radio. Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go, Loyapolo. You're back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Glorious weekend of October 12th and 13th. Again, a happy new year because opening up Monday is segment A of the Black Bear season. Going to run October 14th through 19th. Okay, the first few days it's archery only and then muzzle only. Hey, you're tuned in 5 to 6 a.m. on WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM, South Jersey's top rated talk station, and also WPG 1450 AM. Streaming live on that slot, WPG1450.com. From 7 to 8 a.m., you're locked into 50,000 mega far reaching watts of the Rack and Fin radio message, 97.3 ESPN FM. Streaming live, 97.3 ESPN.com. Download the WPG Talk Radio app to get to the Rack and Fin radio podcast, also on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube, among others. Remember last week, Tom P., the bear thing. What are you talking about? Well, bear season's here, thank God. And they had we had Dave Golden on, Assistant DEP Commissioner for Fish and Wildlife last week, giving the prospectus for the hunt. Also had on Assemblywoman Dawn Fantage, Republican 24th District, talking about the bill A360, which in the long run, if you look beyond the end of your nose, will eventually end game, as Dawn put it so succinctly, mission creep, outlaw baiting in New Jersey. The sister bill now, S-765 in the Senate, is there. A very special guest, longtime acquaintance from when he was a youngster, and just a great guy in the New Jersey State Senate, Senator Parker Space, Republican 24th District. Parker, that long, I remember when you were knee-high to a toast stool, man.
That's just a few years ago, right?
Parker, man, does it fly. Okay, Parker, let's get to S-765. Am I correct in my thing? It's a long-term, again, as Dawn put it so succinctly and perfectly, a mission creep, in your opinion, to eventually outlaw baiting for deer, whatever, statewide? Because it will go statewide.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that is their mission, you know, from a lot of the, you know, from the majority of the ones on the other side of the aisle. And even I see on this last bill where it had passed, which we're talking about through the Senate Economic Growth Committee, you know, it went through 5-0 with two Republicans voting for it. But no, that is their goal to, you know, outlaw, you know, basically anything they can for outdoor sports, including, you know, trapping, hunting, fishing. They have the mindset. They bring the young kids up with a mindset that you don't have to go out and harvest something out in the woods. Mm-hmm. You can go to the grocery store and buy a slab of meat instead of harvesting a bear, a deer, a turkey, right, and eating it, you know, something from the land.
Well, Parker, the sponsors on both sides, like I know some of these clowns like Cryan and Conway, they're from urban and or urban / suburban districts, have no real context except maybe some cardinals and juncos in their yard. What wildlife is, wildlife management is. And Dawn put it in that article she sent into the Hunting Wire. It was great. She says, how about this? We trap bears and relocate them in these city districts and see how these bill sponsors feel about it after a while. I'm paraphrasing, but she made a great point.
No, it's true. And as we said before, and we've talked, is that they try to legislate these issues that they have no idea, for one, what they're talking about, for two, with the constituency that have to deal with these problems, because like Dawn said, none of these folks live in bear territory. You know, I live right in the center of it. We have the highest population of black bears anywhere in the country, west of 287, 78 up in this corner of northwest New Jersey. There's more bears, black bears per square mile right here in my hometown than there are in Alaska per square mile. There's more black bears in Alaska, but there's more per square mile in northwest New Jersey. And these folks don't have to deal with it. They don't have to live with it. And they think we're a bunch of idiots up here. It's like, you know, pal, don't tell me how to live in bear country. We do it every single day. And they try to think that they know better than we do. Bullcrap.
And Parker, the tentacles of that hydra are heading south to the southern tier counties, again, with this eventual outlaw of baiting as the primary target. And then, wow, and there you go. It's again, they don't care if it takes 500 years. They want to outlaw hunting. Now, some of the co-sponsors, who's this guy, Gopal, Vin Gopal, he took he kicked Jen Beck's ass and got her out of there. Well, good to him. She just dropped her, took her eye off the ball there. Vehemently anti-hunting, anti-trapping, and probably anti-fishing from what I understand. Bob Singer, Brian Stack, Joe Cryan, again, crying up there in Union County. He's always crying with his hand out. I mean, Parker, these people have no idea what the whole wildlife thing is about. And yet they have the power to stop stuff. How do they get, are they in the pockets, Parker? Is it donations? How do they have so much sway? How do the antis have so much sway with these legislators?
It is a lot of, you know, the donations to the campaign accounts drive a lot of direction that they go, for one. For two, we're always outvoted because every single committee that they go through, there's always one more Democrat than there's a Republican, even though some of these Democrats got the Republicans to go along with them, which I don't get that.
Yeah.
Still, they always have enough to outvote you if need be. And like you said, I just can't reiterate enough, is that they don't live here. They didn't reach out to myself. They didn't reach out to Dawn, you know, and say, hey, how are you guys dealing with that up there? And like you said, we don't need to be unintentionally fined for $1,000, whatever their crazy fine is, because if somebody puts their garbage out and the bear picks it, well, if they do, that's your own fault. Then go pick the garbage up. You know, it's like, you don't have to fine me. People up here are savvy on living in bear country. So don't tell us how to live our lives.
Join us online is State Senator Parker Space Republican 24th District. We had Dawn Fantasia. Someone went Dawn Fantasia on last weekend, R24. Same thing with Parker up there in Sussex and parts of Warren, whatever. Just to tell you how this bill here, Parker, I'm just losing it here. A360 and Senate Companion Bill S765. How will impact down the road? Down the road, it's going to be mission creep, but down the road. And Parker, then these things, if you can say, are they pretty much done dealios? Is this going to happen?
It's, well, you said it's went through committee, so we'll have to see if it gets to the, you know, to the floor in both houses. But that would not surprise me. And, you know, unfortunately, if it does, the governor, you know, will end up signing it. Because he's down in Monmouth County there somewhere. So he doesn't have to deal with the issues either. And
this might be a payback because he had, pretty much had his head banging on a wall to reopen the bear hunt. This will be his exacting his pound of flesh coming back at us.
Yeah, I really wish some of these legislators that came up with this brilliant idea did come up and go to the different farms around and see the crop damage and go to the people's houses that have their screen doors ripped off, or talk to the ladies that come home from the grocery store and bring a load of groceries in from the back of their car, and they come out and there's a bear stealing out of the back of their vehicle. So a hunt is, like I said, is what's needed up here. But as you stated before, their ultimate goal is to eradicate hunting altogether. Mm-hmm. You know, deer hunting, I put a bait pile out in the morning, I set, we drive in the afternoon, I go back and set at night. You know, that's how we do it up here. But their goals and their objectives are to take away our way of life. And like I said, I try to be the front line of defense stopping it. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely difficult. And like the old saying goes, you know, kids that grow up hunting, fishing, and trapping don't rob little old ladies.
This is true.
It's true family tradition up here. I've done it for generations, from my grandfather down. You know, I have two grandsons, hopefully, and my son, hopefully before too long. The two grandkids are going to be out deer hunting with us. And it's just a lifestyle that they do not understand. They just don't get it.
We have to hold on to it, people. Contact your legislator. Barbara, what else can you do? Contact the legislator. Let me ask you this, Senator, before I let you go. More effective, petitions, letter writing, an email, a phone call. What gets it has to go through the staff. I get that. What is the most effective way to communicate with a legislator on the assembly or Senate level?
Yeah, I would call the office, email, and follow up with the phone calls. And it, like the old saying goes, the squeaky wheel gets the most grease. And, and the voices have to be heard. And we talked the other day. It's like if you're a trapper and there's an issue coming up with bow hunting and you have the idea saying, hey, well, that doesn't affect me. Well, you know what? It does affect you. Every trapper has to support every bow hunter, shotgun hunter, and vice versa all the way down the line. As soon as there's an issue coming up with any sort of outdoor activity that contains hunting or trapping, we all have to be on board together, united throughout the whole state of New Jersey, and push back. And unfortunately, there's not enough pushback, and that's why a lot of this stuff just seems to like move right down through the pipeline.
I know, Parker, and the organization working, breaking their balls doing it, the New Jersey State Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs, United Bow Hunters, New Jersey Outdoor Alliance is trying, but it's a beyond formidable task, Senator, if you ask me, but we just have to keep it up.
No, I mean, they're great organizations, and we just have to get more people involved into those organizations to be the mouthpiece and push back on this kind of stuff.
Parker, he caught himself there.
Saying it nicely, yeah.
State Senator Parker Space, Republican, 24th District. Thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin Radio. I'll be up that area in a couple of weeks, Parker. Hope to see you soon.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
Take care, man. He says it like he means it. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And the WPG Talk Radio app.
Wrapping it up this Saturday, October 12th, weekend of October 12th and 13th. Glorious time. Again, we have a happy new year. Bear season opens Monday. Also opening Monday. Again, the parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio. Season opens or reopens. The cause for a New Year's celebration. The fall trout stocking is getting underway. Had to do a little bit of reversal. Again, it's been all over the news. Broke it last week on Rack and Fin with the low water conditions up north. So we'll be starting with the southern waters. Southern Tier County Wars, man. A lot of fish coming down. We'll get into that a little later. But joining us on Rack and Fin Live right now, a very special guest just to talk about the quality of these gorgeous rainbows coming out of the PeaQuest Trout Hatchery is PeaQuest Trout Hatchery Superintendent Ed Conley. Good man, great crew, beautiful trout. Hey, Conley, I'm too excited. I mean, squirrels, bears, deer, but the trout, Ed, the trout. You did another masterful job, you and all involved. How you doing, man?
Okay, how are you, Tom?
Lock, cocked, and ready to rock for these bows. Ed, now, these are two-year-old trout. Okay, you're looking anywhere 14 to 16-inch average with a bunch, approximately 1,000. We're not going to really get into that. Breeders up to, Ed, what, 5 or 6 pounds I've seen up there. And the fish look great, do they not?
Yeah, they look really nice, Tom, and real nice color on them. And they're up to size here, so they're ready to get out of here.
And listeners, now, in less than, it's going to be another 36, 40, in less than that, you have the winter trout stocking coming up the first 2 days of Thanksgiving. But, Ed, back to this October stocking. Listeners, 20,400 gorgeous rainbows are going to be spread around 20 counties. Cape May is the only county without getting it, but Pond du Lodge will get hit during that, during the October, the November stocking, Thanksgiving, week. I believe it's that, that Tuesday will get hit also with Birch Grove Park Pond right down the road here. But Ed, getting these fish together, it's a seamless operation. Real quickly, Ed, are these fish all part of the main load? Then they're separated, super fed. What's the deal of getting them up again to this size for this program? Now listen, it's been since the 80s. Phenomenally, wildly popular. And there's more people fishing than hunting, I think, out there.
Yeah, that's what we do, actually, Tom. We reduce densities on these fish, and You know, they get fed almost the same amount according to the feed program, and it kind of advances their growth a little bit, and it makes them right now. I think we're on these 2 year olds. We're at a 14.5 inch average on them, which is great.
Yep.
And with some measuring up to almost 17 inches.
And they're chunky as all get out, man. They're fatter than me. You got some girth on those bad boys and girls. And now, how big are the are these 2 year old, 3 year old spent breeders? I know there's the sprinkling of breeders going out. What percentage per load, if you're going to divulge that?
Basically, depending on the water body size and all that, that's how we base how many brood stock go in each waters and, what can fit on a truck. So.
And what are these maxing out at? 5-6 pounds? I saw some horses, man.
Yeah, right now we're at just shy of a 4 pound average.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these are measuring up to 23 inches. They could reach weights up to 7 pounds.
Like I said, fat as me, fatter than me. Well, Ed, again, great job on that. Getting numbers out again with the low water list is just stay alert. We'll be keeping it based tracked in there. But we have, I'll go into the numbers after Ed. I know it's sad, but he's just jamming. We'll get into the numbers after Ed Conley leaves. But Ed, great job. Now, guys already gearing for the fall. Now, next spring's stuff's already in the works. How does that work, man? That's crazy.
Yeah, basically, every year when we do the spring stocking, we drain those raceways out, we clean them, and we bring out next year's stock out of the nursery building, and that's a whole cycle. We have 3 year classes of fish on site here. We just wrapped up our egg take for the production season for 2025. So.
And listen, these fish are absolutely gorgeous. And again, South Jersey, again, these are, except for the Morris River, these are lakes and ponds being stocked. And anything goes with these trout. I'm telling you, power bait, gulp dough, fathead, minis under a bobber, worms, spinners, rooster tails are particularly deadly, trout magnets, MEP spinners. And this is a win-win all around. Congratulations on a great job with these trout, brother.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it, and I hope everybody gets out there and gets a chance to catch these big ones there.
And then in a few weeks, you got the Thanksgiving 2 days. That's all. Hey, those fish go, they're even more aggressive than ones now, it seems. That's a great.
They'll be about the same size as well when they go out.
1-2 punch there. Okay, and you take care, man. Best of all.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
See you, brother.
Thanks to everyone out there.
Pequus Trout Hatchery Superintendent Ed Conley. Okay, let's go by the numbers here real fast. We're up against the end of the show. This Tuesday, October 15th, we have, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We got 8 waters the first week. And Wednesday, October 16th, we have 4 waters going on the rainbow stocking list. For Tuesday, G and Petro Park Pond gets 180. Hamilton Lake, 230. Always have to stop at the Piccolo Lane after that one. Mary Elmer Lake, they're right above Sunset Lake, 210. The Morris River, 180. Crystal Lake, 230. Grenlock Lake, 180. Oak Pond, right there behind the Southern Region Office, 180. And, Sylvan Lake, 180. Total of 1,570. On Wednesday, Greenwich Lake, 190. Iona Lake. Love my Iona. Was that a song in 79? Sort of similar. And Shadler Sandwash Pond, 160. And the Great Swedesboro Lake, 220 for a total of 790 that week. So we're looking at 2,360 two-year-old rainbows with some breeders in there. As Connolly said, up to 6 pounds. Get out there and enjoy. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio. Get out and enjoy the autumn bounty.